This is a coastal story, written and presented by Charlie Connolly. St Helen's Fort, about half a mile off Benbridge on the Isle of Wight, was an unusual location for a lighthouse. It was built during the 1860s as one of Palmerston's Follies, a string of coastal defences designed to protect the Solent from possible invasion by Napoleon III, but ultimately never required. At the eastern end of the Isle of Wight, it was the perfect location for a lighthouse, protecting the ever-growing number of ships sailing in and out of Portsmouth and Southampton. One was constructed on top of the fort, a skeletal steel structure 20 feet high, with an enclosed light room accessed by a ladder. In 1911, Mason Langton, a veteran of the Boer War, was appointed caretaker and keeper of the light, and moved into the fort with his wife Kate and their newborn daughter, Ethel. The Langtons made the fort a cosy home, behind the thick walls against which the waves slapped and smashed on stormy nights. Mason kept the light immaculately, filling the oil reservoir, trimming the wick, cleaning the burners and the lens, winding the clockwork mechanism that turned the lamp. Up and down that steel ladder he went, several times a day. Sometimes, when she was old enough, he'd take Ethel with him. It was a special place. On clear nights, Ethel would go up on top and see the lights of the ships as they eased past in the darkness, beneath a canopy of stars. On foggy days, she couldn't see anything at all. It was as if she was alone in the world, but for the blaring foghorn and the answering tones from invisible ships. It was an unusual place to grow up, but Ethel Langton wouldn't have swapped it for the world. As Ethel grew into a teenager, her parents realised what a lonely life it could be for her out there on the fort. She was keeping up with fashions now, and wore her hair in a bob, and chose her clothes carefully. Her friends over on the island could call at each other's homes at will, but Ethel's home was nearly half a mile out to sea, accessible on foot only for a brief period at low tide, otherwise reachable only by boat in calm waters. So for her 15th birthday in March 1926, the Langtons bought Ethel a dog for company, a Pomeranian she christened Badger. On March the 20th, 4 days after Ethel's birthday, a storm blew up. A fierce one. Hurricane force winds screamed up the channel, and Mason Langton had his work cut out, keeping the lamp lit, the wick trimmed, the oil topped up, and the clockwork wound. For 3 days, the storm kept up until the Langton supplies began to run out. When there was just half a loaf of bread left, the storm seemed to calm down a bit. Calm enough, thought Mason, for he and Kate to make a dash for the shore and get some provisions. Over they went, leaving Ethel with Badger, and assurances they wouldn't be long. Nobody was concerned. They'd done this hundreds of times over the previous 15 years. But by the time the Langtons returned to their boat loaded with supplies, the sky had darkened, and the wind was howling again, whipping up the sea, sending waves crashing against and even over the fort. With no hope of getting across safely, the Langtons took shelter in the Coast Guard's cottage and waited it out. The storm didn't abate. In fact, it got worse, becoming the worst storm the Isle of Wight had seen that century. Then night began to fall, and Mason began to fret. Without him there to light the lamp, there was no warning to shipping, struggling out there in the teeth of the gale. Skippers and sailors, admirals and fishermen, they all knew to look for the St. Helens light. Without it, in that storm, there could be carnage. Standing at the window, Kate suddenly cried, "Look!" There, in the dark, was a bright point of light, half a mile or so offshore. Ethel Langton, 15 years old, had gone out in the gale, climbed that 20-foot ladder, lashed by rain and buffeted by the wind, which tore her scarf from her head and flung it out into the darkness. She wrenched open the door of the light room, which swayed and shuddered and creaked and moaned above the roar of the storm, trimmed the wick, topped up the oil, wound the mechanism and lit the burner, just as she'd watched her father do. The light glimmered at first, then burst into life, its beam picking out the bullets of rain being flung across it in the gathering darkness. And down she went, one rung at a time, until she was back inside again, ears ringing, skin fizzing from the spray and the wind. Badger, the Pomeranian, licking the salt from her face, making her laugh. All night, every 4 hours, she would go out into the storm and climb that ladder again, checking on the light, checking the oil, checking the wick, winding the mechanism, alone, in the teeth of the gale. 3 days and 3 nights that storm raged. The Langtons paced up and down the shore, helpless, praying for a lull that never came. And still, every 4 hours through the night, 15-year-old Ethel Langton, entirely alone, climbed that ladder at the mercy of the wind and kept the lamp lit, checked everything was in order, wound the mechanism, then climbed down again, back to her endless games of patience, back to Badger the Pomeranian. For 2 days, all she had to live on was that half loaf of bread and a little bit of sugar. The coal was running low, so she could barely keep a fire going. But every 4 hours, she'd climb that ladder to the light room and check on the light, trimming the wick when she needed to, topping up the oil when she needed to, winding the mechanism, keeping the lamp lit. Then 3 men in a motorboat managed to get close enough to toss a bag of provisions to her. But she still spent 3 sleepless nights out there, on her own, keeping the lamp tended and lit as the storm refused to die down. When it did, on her 4th morning alone out there, and Mason and Kate could finally safely cross the water to the fort on the Bembridge lifeboat, they found their daughter asleep in the armchair, with Badger at her side, awake, alert, keeping watch. Ethel's story made the news around the world, and she received sackloads of fan letters and gifts. She was awarded the Lloyd's Medal for Meritorious Service, but took it all in her stride, the way a 15-year-old girl does. The Langtons stayed at the fort for 35 years altogether, until 1946. The following year, Ethel married Cyril Randall, a fellow nurse at the Droxford Mental Hospital, moved to Fareham on the mainland and had 3 children. She lived long enough to see in the new millennium too, dying in 2002 at the age of 91. St. Helens Fort was decommissioned in 1959 and is in private hands now. Every year at the lowest August tide, hundreds of people walk out to the fort and back along the causeway. There's no lighthouse now, but that skeletal tower is still there, where for 3 nights in the spring of 1926, every 4 hours, 15-year-old Ethel Langton would go out into the storm, climb the 20-foot ladder as the gale howled around her, check the wick, check the oil, and wind the mechanism, keeping the lamp lit, keeping the ships safe, watching the bullets of rain flinging through the beam of light that she'd made possible, saving lives in numbers she could never imagine. That was A Coastal Story, and I'm Charlie Connolly. It's back to normal service this week after last week's triple bill of spooky stories. If you're enjoying Coastal Stories, do please rate it and give it a nice review if you can. And tell your friends and relatives. Open your window and shout to strangers in the street about it. As ever, I'm grateful to, nay, overwhelmed by, everyone who's donated the price of a pint via coffee.com so far. It's a huge help to keeping this thing going. I'm no Ethel Langton, and I love making this podcast, but it does take quite a bit of time and expense. So if you fancy showing your appreciation by buying Coastal Stories a pint, it's ko-fi.com. That's ko-fi.com/coastalstories. I'll stick a link in the episode notes. Otherwise, see you on Facebook at Coastal Stories Podcast or on Twitter, where you can find me plugging this thing with frankly galling regularity at Charlie Connolly. Check out my books too, actually. I've one on the shipping forecast and one about the English Channel, as well as a bunch of others. They're available where you'd expect, but I'll put a link to the page I've set up at uk.bookshop.org in the show notes too. It's a new site set up to support independent bookshops, and they do need our support now more than ever. Otherwise, I'll just leave you with these waves, recorded at the fringe of a calm turquoise sea at Deal at high tide on the 5th of November 2020.